Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we want to talk about the movie that's in the theaters now, God's Not Dead. Yesterday we recommended that you see if you're interested in promoting a biblical worldview in our culture. We recommended that you see two movies, Son of God and God's Not Dead. I've now seen both with our family. Our three youngest boys went with us last night, Cheryl and I, and we brought along a couple of their friends. Dear friends of Bob Inyart Live, Leon Gonzalez and his family, we went with them. And God's Not Dead was such a fun movie. We so strongly recommend it. It's got a couple little bits I'd like to tell you about a little bit later in the show, but boy, what a great movie. Really fun. It's got a couple of the Duck Dynasty folks in it. It's such a good movie. So anyway, Noah is coming out this weekend. You know, Glenn Beck, he's calling it the Babylonian Chainsaw Massacre. So he's not suggesting, you know, Noah meets Mad Max or Mad Max meets whoever, the Nephilim. So he's not recommending it. And again, it's not clear whether it has sexual immorality in it, seductive sexual immorality or nudity. I hope not. But if it did, then of course you don't go. But these other two movies, just great. Son of God and God's Not Dead, and upcoming still later this year, Exodus and Mary. So this is the year of the Bible epics in the theaters. Also, we want to talk about, I want to get to a couple pet peeves regarding technology. I'm a bit upset at T-Mobile, and I want to ask, does your carrier do the same that T-Mobile's doing as far as now that you can make calls via Wi-Fi? They're cutting back on their coverage so that if you live in a, you know, bedroom community, neighborhood community, they think, well, we don't have to cover your calls in your neighborhood because you could make calls at your home on your Wi-Fi with your cell phone. And a lot of good that does people who are driving home. And as they get within five blocks of their home, they lose every call because the networks no longer think they really have to cover neighborhood bedroom communities. And that's just outrageous. And also, I want to ask you, when you go to comment on a blog or some forum and they say, sign in with Facebook, sign in with Twitter, sign in with your Google account, Gmail, do you read the fine print? Because it says invariably, it says, and by the way, if you click here and enter your password, then we're going to collect your entire list of friends. We're going to collect everyone you follow, and we're going to find out when you follow new people, and we're going to collect your profile. Oh, and by the way, we may want to post on your account for you, and on and on and on. So I wonder, are people really looking at that carefully? But first, before those things, a phone call that we asked the president of American Right to Life if she could come on to talk about, since their headquarters is here in Colorado and they follow local state politics, of course, if she could talk about the announcement yesterday by Cory Gardner, who's a Republican candidate, who said he's changed his position on personhood. So, Leslie Hanks, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Leslie. So you saw this, I'm sure, in the news?
I did.
Very
disappointing, and I guess I can't say I'm too shocked. But
Not surprising that yet another Republican politician would betray his stated commitment to the personhood of the unborn child?
I think my reaction was another in a long line of Republican sellouts.
Another in a long line of Republican sellouts. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that, yeah.
25 years, pretty much, I've been involved in this. And, you know, it's just the same old story over and over again. It's very disappointing.
Yeah. In fact, it's so common that we expect it. I mentioned on the air yesterday that just a few days ago, I was having lunch with a state legislator. We were at that Irish pub, Katie Mullins, on 16th Street Mall.
Right.
Yeah, great place. And I mentioned Cory Gardner, and I said, you know, he's conservative, Christian, Republican, pro-life, totally committed to the life of the unborn child, the child's right to life, the God-given right to life, the person of the unborn child. So we could expect that he will reverse his position and state that he opposes personhood. I mean, it's so predictable.
Yeah, his handlers, I guess, are suggesting that's the proper course. And I take it really personally because he's my congressman, and I used to really admire him. But, you know, when he first, or when it came out that he was sort of the anointed one, I started looking at his record a little more closely, and boy, he's really slid left dramatically over the last year or so. Anyway, he was rated by Heritage Foundation and a number of other conservative so-called conservative organizations in the 60s on, like, maybe six or seven different groups were giving him percentages in the 60s, and Eagle Forum had him in the 30s.
Oh, wow. Right.
You know, I was already bothered by his voting record, so this, you know, this sort of just...
And this is not surprising. Leslie, here we're talking about Colorado politics. Do you remember the Focus on the Family employee who ran for state office? She ended up being a representative. I think she might now be a senator from Colorado Springs.
Why, yes, I do.
Not, her name, Amy Stevenson, right?
Amy Stevens.
Amy Stevens, thank you. And
the,
so,
the mother of Amy Care.
The mother of Amy Care, because she helped to put in the machinery in Colorado so that we could be an early adopter of Obamacare.
That's right.
Yeah. She did for Colorado what Mitt Romney worked on doing for Massachusetts, just so that it would be a flawless transition so that we could have government, you know, reform, healthcare reform, and the individual mandate and all that. And so Amy Stevens, not only was she a Focus on the Family, pro-life candidate, Republican, conservative, Christian, but when she was running, I recall the same realization that she would stab the unborn child, the pro-life movement, personhood in the back, given the opportunity. We didn't guess then that she'd be an early adopter of Obamacare, but that falls in line with the rest of the story. But do you recall when the Democrats passed the statewide law to try to prevent pro-lifers from protesting at the homes of abortionists?
Do you I do, and she was involved in that, as I believe.
Yeah, she was an ally of the Democrats, of the pro-aborts, and she even introduced her own amendment to the law to make it more stringent so that truth trucks could not be used when we're trying to call attention to the fact that an abortionist is living and functioning in your community, a paid child killer.
That's right. That's betrayal number. How much? What are we up to?
Right, right. So this, you know, no child killing with tranquility is not something that Republican alleged pro-life candidates are comfortable with. They
That's true.
They prefer child killing with tranquility.
With tranquility, right.
Yeah, so if people raise too much of a stink about child killing, well, then they will move more aggressively against you than they will against the abortionist.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. So Cory Gardner, he's just the latest in a long line of Republican betrayals, as you said. Maybe we could use, you mentioned his handlers. He's running for U.S. Senate. So there is a bit of a political machine in Colorado like there is everywhere. And as a candidate begins to get successful, like you said, you know, they pick their anointed ones. And then one of the first things they're taught is that you cannot be a champion on the social issues, meaning
correct,
killing children, euthanasia, physician-assisted euthanasia, homosexuality, homosexual marriage, homosexual adoption of innocent children, and on and on. These are things you got to keep your mouth shut on. And if the candidate is a typical conservative Christian, they're going to obey their handlers.
I have, for some reason, Dick Wadhams comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. Dick Wadhams with, whose campaign was he involved with here in Colorado? Was it not Hanks? That's you.
Ken Buck.
And was Dick Wadhams involved with his campaign?
Oh, I'm guessing probably behind the scenes. I'd have to go back and look. But
it was the campaign before that with the Republican congressman who went to the Marianas Islands to investigate forced abortion.
And that's a story from the past, huh?
Yeah, and we got photos of him parasailing, and he issued a report saying there's no forced abortion in the Marianas Islands, which you recall all that, right?
And I do.
And Xu Yan Zhou, who was a victim of forced abortion, she was pregnant, and she came out. She flew out to Colorado. She went on KHAL Radio. She was on with liberal hosts, conservative hosts, condemning. And do you remember the name of that candidate who also went to the media and said that he opposes personhood in principle? Do you remember who that was?
That would be Bob Schaefer.
Bob Schaefer. So Bob Schaefer, Ken Buck, Cory Gardner, these are all, and you could put them in line with Bob Dole and John McCain and Mitt Romney. They basically compromise so often for their to appease their political ambition that by the time they end up with any significant power, they're worthless. In fact, they're the enemy.
Well, Bob, it makes me proud to say I did run against Bob Schaefer in the 4th Congressional for the Taxpayer Party.
Oh, wow.
A few years back. So mm-hmm. We knew he was going to bail even then.
I'm trying to remember the name of the U.S. senator from years ago, back in the, 1990s?
Hank Brown?
Hank Brown. Very good. I said Hanks earlier, right? Hank Brown. Mm-hmm. Leslie, let's go back that far, because we're trying to educate Christians and people who care about children being killed, educate our culture. So back then, when Hank Brown was running for U.S. Senate, that was right before the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill debacle.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up winning. So he was on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I remember hearing him on national TV talk about abortion with Joe Biden, of all people, who's now the vice president.
He was pretty pro-choice, actually, because I recall that there's some kind of family connection, in a sense. I think his mother was a Hanks or something.
Okay.
So I gave him, we have the Hanks family genealogy book from Kentucky, and I actually lent it to him, I believe, trying to make the case that, you know, Abraham Lincoln wouldn't have been where you're standing on this issue.
Well, if you recall, he ran as a Republican U.S. Senate candidate, right? And and he ran as a pro-lifer. It was obvious that he was a child killer, but he ran as a pro-lifer. And so I remember the church I was going to at the time in Commerce City, back in the when did he run for Senate? Do you recall?
Well, I want to say when I met with him back in D.C. one time, it might have been 87, 88, something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm looking it up right here. He was in office, let's see, 1991. So his campaign was 1990. And
well, so then maybe would he have been a congressman first
Yeah.
before he went to senator? Okay, yeah, maybe I met with him when he was a congressman.
He was, 1981 to 1991. You're right.
And
so my church was actively involved in working to get him elected. I wasn't the pastor. I was warning the members of the church and the pastor that Hank Brown was a child killer. He was a pro-abortion. And they were insisting that he's going to stop government funding of abortion and he's pro-life. And of course, that was a lie. They didn't know they were lying, I presume.
Right.
No, they didn't know they were lying.
They had their rose-colored glasses on.
Yeah, but we went. I remember my son, Josiah at the time, and I would go to Hank Brown's town hall meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, he gets elected, and in the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill hearings on C-SPAN, in a break, Joe Biden asks him a question, and this was broadcast. Mm-hmm. And Biden says, Senator Brown, you're new here. What's your position on abortion? And Hank Brown says, oh, I'm pro-choice. Without even missing a beat. And Leslie, do you think that the pro-life leaders in Colorado, like the Eagle Forums and Focus on the Families and those groups, do you think they put out a statement apologizing for misleading their, you know, members and supporters and stating that they're sorry that they supported this man who supports killing kids? You think any of those groups did that?
No, because James Schindler in Eagle Forum in Colorado has worked to try to defeat personhood since 2008.
Since 2008, since we were on the ballot. Now we're on the ballot for the third time. And Pat Miller, you know that name, right? Pat Miller?
I sure do. Yes.
Yeah, she's been a Republican activist for these years, Republican hack. She has been sending a letter to all Colorado Republican candidates urging them to oppose personhood.
And now that I don't think I knew.
Yeah, Pat Miller is right now, she's one of the other side's operatives to turn Republican pro-life candidates against personhood. And it makes me think about what happened during the abolition days here in America. You recall William Lloyd Garrison from way back in slavery days? Yeah.
Yes.
And he advocated the abolition of slavery. And I've got right here in the studio a tremendous biography of him, All on Fire.
I've got that, too, and I need to read it.
Oh, it's just tremendous, Leslie. I'm only about halfway through it, but it is it's a classic. Award-winning biographer, Henry Mayer. And Mayer points out, and I don't even know that Mayer is a Christian, but William Lloyd Garrison was a Christian, motivated primarily that all people are made in God's image. And here's what the biography says. Before the Civil War, there were many anti-slavery efforts, and they all wanted to be the lead opposition to slavery, but none of them were for abolition, none of them. It was a states' rights group, a three-fifths clause group, a Missouri Compromise group, the colonization group, where they were raising money to send blacks to the Caribbean or Africa, send them back to Africa, send them to Liberia. That's how Liberia got started. The toleration but non-extension group and the popular sovereignty group. But Mayer points out it was only William Lloyd Garrison's program of immediate emancipation that prevailed, that became history through the repudiation of the pro-slavery constitutional compromise. And so all these other movements, they've all fallen in the trash bin of history. And it's the abolitionists who turn out to be the heroes and the ones with vision and whose victory became reality.
I don't think Cory Gardner is quite yet aware of abolishhumanabortion.com and the burgeoning movement of young abolitionists in this country, which is growing every single week.
Yes.
He's going to be in the dustbin of history, no doubt.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. And Leslie, when you mention Corey Gardner's handlers, I think of Daniel in the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel. He's a prime minister of an empire. There's the emperor, and then he's at the very next. He's like higher than a cabinet level official. He's over a third of the empire. And so the king is manipulated, being a fool, to pass a law that says if you pray to anybody for 30 days, except for me, the penalty's death. So what would Corey Gardner's handlers, his political advisors, what would they tell him to do if he were Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar's court? What do you think?
Sell out.
Sell out. Obey, Corey, obey the law, because, you know, God doesn't say that you have to pray publicly. Just pray privately for 30 days and everything will be fine. And then who knows, maybe you'll be the next king. So, Leslie, it's sickening.
It is.
Yeah.
So discouraging. But you know what? The abolitionists are coming on strong and they're not backing down and they're going to get the regulators out of the way and it's going to be over in our lifetime, Bob, I predict it.
Wow. I'm very encouraged. Thank you, Leslie. May God bless you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Taking the time to join us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Bob. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. Leslie Hanks with American Right to Life. And so, and by the way, their website, AmericanRightToLife.org or AmericanRTL.org. And then just click on Garrison's name. It's there on the homepage. Or just add /Garrison. And you'll get right to this extraordinary article. He was an abolitionist. And as an abolitionist, he said black people have equal rights with all other people. They're made in God's image and likeness. So slavery is wrong. It needs to be abolished. Do you know that William Lloyd Garrison was hated by the anti-slavery movement? He was hated by the pastors. He was hated by the leaders of the denominations. He was hated by the politicians who were against slavery. They hated him. And if it had not been for agitators like Garrison, we very well may have had one of these compromise positions that reduced slavery but didn't abolish it, because the rest of the movement could have all coalesced alongside of a "we want fewer slaves," like Focus on the Family working for fewer abortions, and some pro-life groups celebrating that their goal is to reduce abortion by 5%. Could you imagine the animal rights crowd saying that's our goal, to reduce animal cruelty by 5%? They wouldn't compromise like that. Like God says in the Bible, he says, pagan nations, they're faithful to their false gods. Why do my people always, why do they always cheat on me? Why are they always unfaithful to me? But the pagans are true to their principles. Corey Gardner's advisors, political advisors, would tell him, if he were Daniel, keep your mouth shut, Corey. Keep your mouth shut for 30 days. You're a shoo-in. You've got all this success. You don't want to throw it out the window, everything you've accomplished. Just keep your mouth shut. Pray quietly. God prefers people to pray quietly in their closet anyway. And you know what Daniel did? He did everything he could to show the king, to show the culture, that he would not compromise on his commitment to God. So that's the latest on Corey Gardner. And by the way, Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me. So when Corey has the audacity to say these children who God made in his image, when he says, I do not advocate personhood for those children, he's saying that of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do to the least of these. You know, when they got to vote and the majority vote was crucify him, crucify him. And Corey now is trying to vote with the majority because the majority are against personhood. So this movie, Son of God, great movie about the life of the Lord. Just great. showing the victory of love over raw power, the victory of truth and righteousness over the powers that be in the world system. And then last night, our family went to see God's Not Dead. It was so good. It was so fun. A college professor who hates God, and begins class the first day of the new semester, freshmen, and tells them, take out a sheet of paper, write God is dead on the paper, sign it, and if you do that, the first third of your grade, you're guaranteed. First 30% of your grade. God is dead, and sign your name and pass it in. The whole class did it. The whole class. Except for one kid. So the movie is about that kid and his effort to get the class to reconsider. What a great movie. It's so good. Now, you know how on this show we talk about Christian superstition, and an example we always give is if a Christian's car doesn't start and they're into miracles and healing and all, and they lay hands on the dashboard and they try to heal the car, then they try it again and it starts, and they say that God did a miracle, right? So this movie, a dozen people in the theater looked at me when you could tell they were going to do that very thing because the car wouldn't start. And it was fun, though. It was a great movie. And I know some people, you know, there are intuitives in the world and there are sensors, right? There's three kinds of people in the world, people who could count, people who can't, right? And so there's intuitives and there's sensors. And so a sensor would see the movie and see that little bit of superstition, that little scene, and think, why would Bob Enyart recommend the movie? Because look what's in it. And that's, you know, I'm an intuitive. I can't understand sensors for the life of me. But the movie taken as a whole is absolutely fabulous. And a movie doesn't have to agree with me, Bob Enyart, to be approved. So I strongly recommend that you see God's Not Dead. Beware the previews. Do not assume that the previews will be okay because it's a Christian movie. Don't assume it. Here in the Denver area, they will not be okay. They will not be okay. Extreme sexuality, extreme in the previews for the movie God's Not Dead. So you just wait in the hallway. You wait till the previews are over, then you go in with your husband, with your kids. So God's Not Dead, Son of God, highly recommended. Glenn Beck says that the Noah movie is the Babylonian Chainsaw Massacre. He's not recommending it. We don't know enough about it yet, but I'm definitely not recommending it. So, but some movies that are unacceptable, you could see them if you get a DVD player called Clear Play. We recommend that here at Bob and Your Life. Hey, we're out of time. KGov.com. May God bless you.